First Peter chapter 3 and verse 5. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. This morning, since it's Mother's Day, we're going to look at a few verses about mothers, what it means to be a godly woman, and something that every woman should strive to be, and we should all appreciate those mothers. Just a couple comments. Again, as we've mentioned, we've got so many members that are struggling with health issues. We need to be praying for them. Our prayers are slowly being answered. We need to continue praying for them. Pray for the ones that are taking care of the ones that have the condition, and doing whatever that we can to encourage them and help them while they are going through this. So today is the second Sunday in May, and this is the annual day for America to honor their mothers. It's one of the busiest days of the year for many companies, greeting card companies, florists, restaurants. Used to be phone companies. I don't know how they would monitor that today when everybody would dial up on their landline and call their mother. But Mother's Day is a busy day. But there ought to be more to honoring mothers than a flower, a card, or text message. None of us would be here without mothers. She gave birth to us. She fed us. She dressed us. She trained us. She cared for us when we could not care for ourselves. And the mother who gives her energy and devotion to the well-being of her children and home deserves daily recognition for her good works. Proverbs 31, verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Proverbs 19, 26, he who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Proverbs 15, 20, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Proverbs 10, 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a grief of his mother. We see these different sayings about the children and their relationship to the father and the mother. And every woman should strive to be that woman from 31 verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. This is the kind of woman that every woman should strive to be. I want us to read 1 Peter 3, but before we look at this a little bit closer, we need to understand this sermon is not just for women. Men, it's our responsibility as husbands, or if we are fathers, to help our wives and our daughters to be godly. So this lesson is for everyone. So in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward arranging of the hair, wearing gold or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. So Peter, he talks about being submissive. What does it mean to be submissive? It's to be obedient, hearing with reverence and obedient agreement. This doesn't mean that a mother or a wife is to be a doormat. The husband is to treat her with respect, and When the husband treats his wife with respect, she is going to respect him and hear and want to be obedient and submissive to him. Peter talks about chaste conduct. Sometimes we see this word chaste in the King James Version, where it's referring to a virgin. Chaste conduct means pure from defilement, not contaminated. We see this woman that is very pure in her thinking and her feeling and her motives, her actions. Purity would sum her up. We see he mentions fear and chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Again, this is a reverence for her husband. It's not fear like being afraid, not fear where the wife is, the mother is always cowering at whatever the father tells her to do. Peter mentions the hidden person of the heart. I believe that just means that deep down innermost being, the heart being the innermost being of ourselves, and that hidden person of the heart. There's something special about a mother that is deep down inside of her that is very valuable. He says, the incorruptible, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty. This beauty will not decay. It will not fade away. We see, you have the TV on, there are so many makeup commercials, fashion commercials. The beauty industry's got to be billions and billions and billions of dollars that women spend to look pretty. We would all like a wife, a mother to look pretty, but you don't have to spend billions and billions and billions of dollars to look like that. And this incorruptible beauty, you see, someone, a woman, a mother that is young and how beautiful that she is. And when she ages, there are going to be natural changes to her body. And it's just like a flower. You see the flowers blooming this time in the spring. Then gradually they fade little by little. And then what happens? They die. They go back to dust. They decay and they're gone. He's not talking about the outward beauty, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, this meekness, this kindness, this forbearance. He says this is very precious in the sight of God. This is something that every mother here should want to attain, these qualities that Peter is talking about. Now, I think we all understand that Peter is not saying that it's wrong to have physical beauty. It's not wrong to have braided hair. It's not wrong to have gold jewelry. I've heard some people preach and say that it is wrong. But to say that that is wrong, they would also have to preach against wearing dresses, because he mentions that in this also. Do not let your adornment be merely outward. Not how you dress up and how you look. There's this deeper quality that is inside. So our focus should not be merely on the external, but verse 4, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. So Peter is making a contrast between the temporary and the eternal. Those things that are just here, fleeting by, and those things that will last forever. So as a woman, as a mother, where do you invest your time? Where do you invest your energy? Where do you invest your money? Are you investing it in the temporary things, or are you investing it in the eternal things, those things that will last forever? So Peter mentioned Sarah in the passage that we read. Let's consider a couple other women in the Bible. Let's consider an example in the Old Testament of Jochebed, the mother of Moses. And when we think about Jochebed, she reminds us that mothers are to be supremely interested in the safety of their children. Back in Exodus chapter 2, we have the story of Jochebed and Moses when he was born. And at that time, Pharaoh wanted to kill, he wanted to put to death, he wanted to murder all the male Israelite babies. They're growing too fast. They're going to outnumber us. We're going to put them to death. We're going to kill them. What did Moses' mother do? At her risk, the risk to her own life and her family, she took her baby and she hid him. So mothers not only give life, mothers sustain life. Rather than give up her child to Pharaoh's mandated slaughter, she devised a plan not only to save his life, but also to ensure that he would be continued to be cared for and taught as a baby. I think sometimes thinking back as a father, when you're young and you have a baby, these things don't even go through my mind, because there's so many things going on, 101 things. Life happens. Each day goes by faster and faster. And you don't stop and think about it till you start having grandkids. And you think, boy, I wish your kids would do this or that with their kids. But we see Jochebed was planning for the future of her son. Her faith in the provisions of God was rewarded. Because of this godly mother, we have one of the greatest leaders of the Old Testament. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. So where did Moses get his faith that we see later on in life? Was it from Pharaoh's daughter that raised him? No, it was from his own mother, his sister. It was from his family. They were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Again, whose faith did it come from? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It came from his mother's faith, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. So you stop and think about this. Egypt, one of the, or not the, most powerful empires in the world at this time. Where did Moses grow up? Did he grow up in some shack? He grew up in the palace. He grew up in the palace. He could have had whatever he wanted. He could have had the world. Did he choose that? No, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Do you think Moses was tempted? I'm sure he was tempted. We're all tempted. But Moses, his mother, instilled in him the fact, again, you want the eternal, not the temporary. Mothers, that's something that needs to be instilled in children. The eternal, not the temporary. And we know, it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He knew that sin was pleasurable. We all know sin is pleasurable, but we've got to understand it's temporary. The passing pleasure of sin, it's going to pass by, and then one day you're going to stand before God, and then what are you going to have to show? Are you going to have your faith to show in God? or are you going to have a lifetime of these entanglements with sin? You think about the contrast between Jochebed and so many mothers today, and with the killing of babies that takes place, and it's normalized. Young women are helped where that they can do that with little ease. But Moses' mother stood up against that. Moses' mother gave him not just life, but a very solid faith in Jehovah. So we urge mothers to remember their children's need for the spiritual life and safety. Again, this is just a generalization. You look at young people, a lot of them, a baby is born, they get a few years old, they want to start putting them in sports, getting them in this, getting them in that, taking them to this class, taking them to that class, and they're going in every direction except opening up the Bible. And when should you open up a Bible and teach your children? When you bring that baby home. You bring that baby home from the hospital. Mothers, we were talking about singing this morning. You have all these songs in your head. Sing those songs to your baby about Jesus, about God, about life. They will remember it. We don't need to see how much of the world we can cram into them. We need to start as soon as we can getting God instilled into their minds. Well, let's consider one more example from the Old Testament, Hannah. Hannah reminds us that an important work of motherhood is to instill within children a devotion to God. The story with Hannah is back in 1 Samuel chapter 1. There is a man named Elkanah that had two wives, Hannah and Peniah. Peniah had children. Hannah had no children. And what did Peniah do? She would tease and taunt Hannah about having no children. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 6, her adversary also provoked her sore to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. She was sick. She was beside herself because she didn't have any children. Year after year, this provocation went on, and Hannah would cry. She lost her appetite. She would not eat. And Elkanah asked her one day, "Why are you crying?" In verse 10 of chapter 1, Hannah was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and cried. This is the story of a woman in much sorrow. She poured out her soul to the Lord. Eli the priest saw her. He saw her lips were moving, but there was no sound coming out. Eli had a conversation with Hannah, and Eli said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that you have asked of him." She prayed for a baby. A son is born. She called him Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." Friends, God hears our prayer. God answered the petition of Hannah. And women who want to be mothers still pray for children today. Children, women pray for children. Women pray for their unborn babies. And God will answer those prayers. Mothers who honor God do not forget to talk to God about their children and about being good mothers to them. And you think about this, God has given mothers a unique opportunity to affect the devotion of the next generation. I would say I had a normal relationship with my mother and father, but there's just something different, and maybe it's a son and his mother and a daughter and the father, but my mother would tell me things that affected me differently than if my dad told me. They could both say the same thing, but it was different coming from my mom. It's that motherly aspect, that motherly piece of the puzzle. So you think about that. What is going to determine the next generation that comes along? A lot of it is going to be the mother's influence on the children. Women have so much power and control over what goes on in the world by their power and influence on their children, especially with the spiritual things. Mothers need to give their children to God. They need to give their children to God by they themselves living godly lives, by teaching and guiding their children in godliness, by setting a good example for them to follow. Mothers who devote their children to God deserve to be honored as blessings from God. Let's go back to our text in 1 Peter again and notice those qualities that Peter was mentioning of this holy woman. First, he mentions gentleness. Gentleness. What is gentleness? Another word for gentleness is meekness. The world sees meekness as weakness, but again, let's define the word. Gentleness denotes seemly, fitting, hence equitable, fair, moderate, forbearing, goodness of heart, good, kind, gracious, someone that has a gentle spirit. They don't get ruffled. Again, that's something that's I find interesting with children and a mother and a father. A lot of times you'll see at a gathering a child playing and they get hurt, they fall down, they scrape their leg, they hurt their elbow. They run crying. Who do they run to? They run to the mother. They run to the mother. This godly woman with the spirit of gentleness. Gentle is beautiful. It's seemly. It's fitting. It's goodness of the heart. It's kind. It's gracious. And I think we don't talk enough about these qualities. We'll talk them, talk about them, we'll read over them. But this gentleness, this meekness, this meek heart is the heart which does not fight against God or struggle with God. This gentle heart gives in to what God says to do. Again, Peter is using it in reference to holy women who trusted in God. I'm using it in holy mothers who trust in God. And when we think of gentleness or meekness, two of the most meek people in the Bible are Moses and Christ. They had a meek heart. They had a gentle heart that did not fight or contend with God. Now, they would fight and contend with others, but they did not fight and contend with God, but graciously submitted to God. And that's beautiful. And how much greater should we be under control? Should women be under control? Not under the control of some human master, but under the control of God, the one that controls everything. So, sisters, when people think of gentleness, does your name come up on the list? A mother should have gentleness. The second quality that Peter talks about is quietness. And again, this doesn't mean that she doesn't talk much. This quietness is talking about tranquility. This peaceful, I don't want to say this peaceful, easy feeling, but this this peaceful, quiet tranquility. Tranquility arising from without and arising from within. Again, because we have God centered in our heart. This quietness characterizes the spirit or disposition, peaceable. So again, quietness does not refer to the loudness or the volume that a woman shouts and yells or that she's very soft. But this quietness refers to a characteristic of the spirit, a quiet spirit, a peaceable spirit, a spirit that is at peace with itself and at peace with others. And friends, if a mother does not have a quiet spirit, what do you think the children are going to be like? They're going to pick up on that spirit, that characteristic that is not gentle and quiet. There are some people that I find it hard to be around, and some of those people are the ones that do not have a quiet spirit. They're loud, they're boisterous, they love to talk about themselves, and they just go on and on and on and about different things, and you just do not have a calm, peaceful feeling. Do you know any women that are not quiet but are the opposite? They're contentious. We've seen people like that. Women that fight and bicker, they do it in public. And again, when we see them do that in public, what do you think they're doing in the home? And what are those children going to see them doing? Solomon says it's better to live on a rooftop than with a contentious woman. I don't think I can add anything to that. The next characteristic or quality of a godly mother is holiness. In verses 5 and 6, Sarah is described as a holy woman, and women can become children of Sarah if they follow in her steps. In 1 Peter 1, verse 14, we find, like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. What do we call this? We call this modeling behavior. Do people model behavior today? Absolutely. Unfortunately, they pick the wrong person to model their behavior after. I want to be like this famous sports star. I want to be like this famous musician. I want to be like this businessman. I want to be like this. And they know everything they need to do to model their life, to be like this businessman, to make X outrageous amount of money and get this and get that and go here and go there, instead of modeling the most important man that ever lived, Jesus Christ. Like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If we are offspring of God, and we are, we need to model a holy life. We need to develop that. Mothers need to develop that, again, because they are going to have a big influence on their children. How do we know how to be holy? We open our Bible and study our Bible. We study the nature of God. We learn the characteristics of holiness. What is holiness? It's sanctification. It's set apart for a special purpose. It's set apart for God's use. Holiness is conduct befitting those so separated. It's growing toward perfection. It involves a right relation to God. Holiness is separated from sin and therefore consecrated to God. We look at examples of holiness like Sarah. There are examples for us to follow. So first, a godly mother is to be gentle. Second, she's to have a quiet spirit. Third, she's to be holy. Fourth, she is to be submissive. In verses 3 and chapter 3 and verse 5, again, being submissive to her own husband. This is something that society puts pressure on women in a negative way. Society will tell women, tell mothers, you don't need to submit to your husband. You're your own person. You're better than he is. They do not follow God's pattern of authority. They put pressure on women to do more than the man. And the other sad thing about that, a lot of men have just thrown up their hands and let women do that. And you see a bunch of, as one of the phrases is, a bunch of girly boys growing up. Men that aren't men because they let women run over them. The women have turned into men and the men have turned into women because they haven't submitted. Being submissive to their own husband, Satan says, don't be holy. You aren't here to serve God and others. Others should serve you. Satan says gentleness is a sign of weakness. Submissiveness is a sign of weakness. He says, don't be quiet. Don't stifle your inner thoughts and feelings. Get them all out. Satan says, whatever you do, don't be submissive. Don't submit to a man. You are equal to or superior to a man. Friends, if you, ladies, sisters, if you want to be a holy woman, understand that a big part of your life is going to be submission. And again, that doesn't mean you're a floor mat. No man that loves his wife as Christ loved the church and was willing to die for the church is going to ask his wife to do something unreasonable or have a mean spirit when he tells her to do something. And do we think any less of Christ for submitting to the Father's will? Not at all. I don't think we do at all. So why should a woman feel inferior if she is supposed to submit to her husband? Why does she feel that way? Because the world tells her the opposite. We've got some godly mothers in the audience this morning. Sisters that are gentle, sisters that are quiet, sisters that demonstrate holiness, sisters that demonstrate submission. And I am thankful that God gave me a wife and a godly mother for raising my children and to help me be the father that I need to be. And I need to help my wife be the kind of wife and mother that she needs to be. So back to something I asked earlier, ladies, are you investing more time, more energy, more money in the things that are temporary or the things that are eternal? Let's talk for just a minute about time. Motherhood brings some changes in how you spend your time. The mother, I want to do this. The baby, the young boy, young girl, the teenager says, I want to do this. I want to go there. I got to do this. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus in chapter 5 and verse 15 and 16, says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So when you become a mother, and this applies to fathers, but we're talking about mothers, when you become a mother, your time is going to change. That baby is going to be a priority. That baby that has an eternal soul is going to be a priority. That baby that is going to grow up into an adult that is going to affect the world that is out there, positively or negatively, is going to affect your time. There's going to be days when it seems you don't have to sit down and hear what happened at school, or to draw a picture with your child, or to sit down and read a story. And those are childhood memories that a child will remember the rest of their life. And sisters, mothers, you've got to remember, we all have to remember, that time is slipping away. And one day those opportunities will be gone. People ask me sometimes, when I get short, when I want things done quickly, I tell them my time is more valuable than your time. They may make a ton more money than I do, but I tell them my time is more valuable than your time because I have less time left. I can't waste any of my time. But people live and waste their time like they're going to live forever until they don't live forever. Time is slipping away. Opportunities are slipping away. Mothers need to learn patience and self-control, need to learn to prioritize. The demands that are placed on a mother are great, but mothers need to remember that they aren't going through it alone. Their husbands are helping them. A congregation is helping them. Friends are helping them. And the responsibilities that fall on a mother call on her to possess humility, unselfishness, and diligence in all wisdom. That sure sounds like a lot, doesn't it? But you ask a mother, a loving mother, and she'll say, it's all worth it. It's all worth it. Friends, children are a gift from God, and mothers are a gift from God. How true it is that a foolish man despises his mother and is the grief of his mother. If your mother's still alive, thank God today for your mother. And if you're a mother, be sure to thank God for his wonderful blessing of motherhood. Relationships are one of the most important things in life. We need to build great ones. And it all depends with that mother and that baby and training them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Friends, maybe there's someone here this morning that is struggling with something in your life. Maybe you need prayers. Maybe you need to make confession. Maybe you need to respond to the gospel invitation. If we can assist you in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing. Mm-hmm.